What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jonathan Elias, with my beautiful co-host, Star Rock. Hey. And you guys are watching AURN's podcast. Now, we have a musical genius here today, and I'm super excited because we've been trying to get him here, but he's been booked and busy, all right? So I want to introduce the great Eric Hall.
Woo! What's up, y'all? I'm glad to be here. I'm loving
like
the
that?
Energy.
Y'all like that intro?
That was good. That was good.
Like off the cuff.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I was actually surprised.
I might have a gig for you later on.
Hold on. Hey. Baby boy knows. Everybody knows baby boy. He loves to be booked. Hey, well, welcome. Welcome here.
Thank you. We're super
excited to have you. A lot of the viewers, you know, we want to tell them your story and just, you know, talk about, because this is a long time coming.
You've
been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. 7 years old playing sax and all that.
Yeah, I'm only 14 now, so.
Okay. So, I mean, 7 years, almost a decade. Look.
Year completion, though. Right.
There you go. So let everybody know, you know, who you are, where you from.
Okay.
T-Nick. Everything you do, bro.
My name is Eric Hall, young black man. From New Jersey, musician, come from a musical family, and I'm just happy that I got this gift that I'm able to share and all these opportunities and experiences I have. So I'm just happy to be here with y'all and be able to share them with y'all and kick it with you.
Nice. I just feel like you're being humble, though, because I saw names of people that you've worked with. Mm-hmm. And off top, I mean, I saw Beyonce. I think you toured with Mary J. Blige.
The thing with all these people, I just saw them and was like, hey, and then I just put them on the paper.
Just like how some people will say the, and like now I'm a writer on the song.
Okay.
No. Like you said, Mary J., that was like your first tour, right? Junior year of college.
Yeah, I kind of like dropped out of college. So I was going to school for music performance, playing flute and saxophone, alto sax, and it was going good. I was like networking, hitting Jersey, New York, like getting a lot of like foot in the like in my foot was starting to slowly get in the door. And then I got the opportunity from a friend of mine. His name is Lauren Dawson, and he was a musical director. But I think the dope thing about life sometimes when you meeting people, well, for me at least, I don't always look at it as an opportunity. It's just like, oh, I meet this person, I connect with you. And then I'm not looking for like, oh, this person works for blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I had no even clue his resume. He was just a super dope musician I connected with. And then he got the opportunity, and he kind of just was like, hey, Mary J. Blige is looking for horns. I'm going to be her MD. I'm like, well, we were just playing in church yesterday. But, I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. And I just had to make a decision. It really started with maybe, like, a month worth of dates. So I was telling my professors, like, all right, check this. So from the 7th to the 19th, I'm not going to be here. I'm back on the 20th.
Yeah.
And literally after the first week rehearsal, another 6 months opened up. So I just had to make a decision, like, stay in school and learn these, you know, it's the stuff that I'm learning, which is great. It's uplifting me. Or, like, make that leap. So I was just like, yo, I'm a Dipset. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm not mad.
It's cool that you said that you kind of like you met the right people who kind of opened doors for you. But I wanted to ask you, because I know, like, seeing that you came from a musical family, did you, like, when you were younger, did you ever have the thought in your mind that maybe you would go professional with your music? Or was it just kind of like, oh, this is fun, you know?
No, I think there was like maybe by the time I was like 15, 16, I knew I wanted to do it. And I remember watching like Mo Better Blues. That's one of my favorite movies. I watched Mo Better Blues, and I didn't know what being a musician really meant. I just liked the story, the way Spike Lee told Denzel, and this is a fly
tale.
Movie.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, yo, this is something I could probably do. Obviously, I'm heading to the 2000s, so I don't know the terrain of music, what it's going to be. But I knew from an early age that I wanted to do it. And it's dope because my parents didn't force me. They wasn't like, you got to do it. It's just like, listen. We gave you the tools, like, you know what, you know right from wrong, blah, blah, blah. You got to figure out what you want to do. But they supported me, too, though. Me and my brother. I have an older brother who plays trombone. He's two years older. So a lot of the early stuff in the past, like, everything from Mary J. Blige to Beyonce and so forth, we were all doing together.
Okay.
And now he's doing MJ the Musical right now.
That's one of my favorite musicals. I went and saw that.
Yeah, he's been subbing. But we did Dreamgirls at the Apollo back in, like, 2009. And that was our intro to, like, theater work and music stuff as musicians, but it's kind of hard for black musicians to kind of get into that world. Because they kind of look at it like, yo, y'all naturally talented, come from church, you got this, but y'all can't read music, you can't. And it's like, hold on a second.
Right.
Let me come here and read these chord notes. Like, I can read. We have that skill set, too. So that opened the door, like, of just slowly getting to theater. But my brother just started subbing on all these shows, and he got MJ, so I'm happy for him. I always try to pump him up every time, because that's my brother. He's 2 years old. I love him. I'm so proud of him, so.
Mm. That's super dope. I think it's a blessing. Do you ever like actually sit back and like think about the fact that you had parents that supported what you wanted to do? And you know, because Yeah, I could speak for myself, you know, coming from an African family, African household, all they knew about was being a doctor, a lawyer, and an engineer. And I didn't know about none of them. All right. That, you know, so like I had to prove it to them. Yeah. You know, do you ever like actually sit back and be like, you know, thank God I got this. And like for the people that don't have that, you know, like, you know, more so my situation, like what would you say to them? And, you know, because I'm sure, you know, when you're passionate about something, you're going to do it. Yeah. You know, so.
No, hindsight is 20/20 because I feel like sometimes you could grow up. Like, you could grow up every day, and every day you walk into your house, there's this mug and this water. And you feel like, oh, everybody should have a mug and water. And then you go somewhere else, and you just see, like, the tank feels empty. Why don't you have anything? And it's just like you realize, like, oh, shoot, I was privileged with something or blessed with something. So I absolutely, like, got to give all the credit to my parents. Like, they supported everything. Like, I remember right after the first tour of Mary J. Blige, making good money, my mom's like, all right, so maybe there was this, like, a lady from church. She wants, her daughter wants, like, vocalists. And I'm like, Mom, I was just on stage and married. Uh-huh. Yeah, married this. Like, I don't want to teach no little
keep
kid.
You humble.
But then, like, a month later, the checks was like, oh, so what's the lady's name?
Yeah, okay.
But it's just like they supported it. And it's just like, that's such an important thing because, like, your parents are absolutely going to be one of the biggest influences or not in shaping how you even think about yourself, how your confidence levels, all that. So, my parents are supported, and for those who don't necessarily have that, I feel like it could be an advantage to, like how you said, because I got a lot of friends who are Nigerian, from Ghana, and it's the same thing. It's just like, yo, if it's not this specific thing, they ain't trying to hear it. You know what I mean? Entertainment? What you mean? Mm-hmm. Fashion? You want to design? You better go be a doctor or lawyer. So that I know part. It's challenging, but I would just say, like, you really, at the end of the day, even if you don't feel like you have a huge support system from your family or whoever, if it's something you want to do, you got to, like, just really stick to your guns. You know what I'm saying? And just go after it at the end of the day.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that.
And let's talk about your sound. Because, like, I was listening to some of your songs, like Hugh and then one called Dollar. Mm-hmm. And your music sounds very, like, it sounds like you're a musician. Like, you have an appreciation for instrumentation because your music is very, like, it's, like big. Like, you can hear it playing at the cookout. It has that band kind of sound.
What I said, not to cut you, what I said, the musicality is just, it's there. It's impeccable. Like, the bass, the horns, like, it gives me almost old school with a new school sound.
Because I was like, Gap Band. Yeah. Like something.
It's soulful. It's soulful, but, like, you know, with a new sound. And I liked that you stay true to your love for instruments. Yeah.
Well, that's a funny story. Is like, that's the same thing with you talking about parents. Both of my parents were heavy in music. My mom used to sing and play piano, but they did it, like, on the side. They had, like, my mom worked in the hospital and, like, healthcare for a long time, and my father, like, worked in healthcare, but, like, fixing, like, medical unions. So, like, he played trumpet, but it was more so, like, just in the crib, you know what I mean? And he used to play Earth, Wind & Fire to death, Barry White to death, and Isaac Hayes to death. As a little kid, I didn't understand it, but as I got older, I'm like, he was, like, one of them fun fat guys. Like, you know, Barry White in 1971, he didn't go on the Dick Van Dyke Show because he wanted to bring the Love Unlimited Orchestra, and it was 70s band, and they wouldn't let him do it. And he's like, I won't go unless I bring my full band. And I'm like, all right, Dad, you done told me the story.
I love
it. A million times. But then it made me realize why I like all the stuff you mentioned about musicality, why I like arrangements, why I like horns, why I like all that stuff. Because I was hearing that 4 or 5 years old. Well, you at that age, you're just a sponge. You just listening to music. You don't even know why you do or don't like it. And it's really, like, a credit to my parents, like, doing that. So then as I started getting older, like, in the college and, like, doing real gigs, and I'm like, why am I hearing stuff like that? Oh, shoot, because I've been heard this feel and these arrangements for so long, and now it started, this is, like, an intrinsic part of me now. You know what I mean?
I want to say some of the people that you have worked with, not just to say it, but, like, to go into my question. So you've worked with superstars like Beyonce, Madonna, Chaka Khan, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, Regina Bell, Sheryl Crow, the Isley Brothers, Rick Ross, Demi Lovato, Queen Latifah, Fantasia, Estelle, Shaggy, Sean Kingston, Kid Cudi, Method Man, Trey Songz, Jaheim, Chrisette Michelle, Dipset, Zendaya, and more. So the reason why I say that, not one, obviously, congratulations. That's amazing. You know, we got to let it be known that this man here actually works. But I love the story about 2013 when you had your first single come out, right? Yeah. Was it Fanfare or something like that?
No, it was called My World.
My World. Yeah. Okay. My bad about that, but that's cool. I got the others right. Okay, so I have got caught up in working for other people in my career as well. And T.I. actually was the one who told me when I did a reality show with him, he was like, you've been doing this for 15 years now. You've been working for people. You've been making people money. And I loved how you just stepped out. And, you know, even if it didn't make it to where you wanted it, like you stepped out and you said, okay, I have to do something for me. And then obviously you had to go back and start working for other people again. How important is it to go out there? And it's like, yo, you could be complacent with like working for these superstars. How important was it for you? And how important is it for other people to step out and be like, hey, I'm about to do this to make a name for myself now and not just make all these people money?
It's important, but I always tell people too, though, like, be careful that you don't do it just because you feel like that's what you're told to do. Like, like someone could say, like, oh, man, you got a real nice smile. You always have a dope voice. How come you don't want to make an album? You like, and after a while, you might be like, yeah, I should make an album. But if you don't really feel that here, that's like, yo, it's my calling, or this is something that in this season I want to do, don't do it. Because then what happens is you'll do it, and if it doesn't work out, like, well, because my friend told me I should have done it. I know I should have listened to them. But if it's something you wanted to do, even if it doesn't manifest into the way that you would like it to do, you'll still be like, yo, this is something I know I want to do. And as far as, like, stepping out and working with other, like, outside of working with other people, that's tricky, too, because it's like the bags be bagging.
Right.
And you be all
right. Right.
And you look at your check and savings, like, all right, it's cool. And then when you go to work on your stuff, you realize, like, I got to invest in myself.
Yep.
Wait, I got to pay so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, you got to start scratching your head. So there's that. But that shouldn't discourage you, though. That's just another thing to say, listen, that should be motivation to say, okay. But if you have your own voice, you should definitely go for it. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be stuff that you got to, like, figure out. But I think it's the best decision I'm ever did, because that led me to other places.
Yeah.
And I also got to work on another part of my craft that maybe I was, like, dormant or was, like, kind of shying away, because it's like, well, I'm so good on sax and I'm going on tour with this person and I'm playing keys with this person, but it's just like, I got these other stuff I'm going to release. So you know what they say, I'd rather, like, die, like, all my ideas released than be, have some stuff still in me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned, like, people doing stuff because they can. I think that's kind of happening a lot too on the flips. Like, it's one thing, like, okay, chase your dreams, but sometimes it's like, just because you can do it, maybe got to strike that realistic balance. But I kind of want to use that to segue into, because there has been a conversation about, like, I saw a video online, a popular vlogger was saying that she felt like a lot of the new artists don't put in work. Like, they don't do the artist development that needs to be done that some of our predecessors have done, like even like a Patti LaBelle or, you know. And then she kind of led into, like, artists dying, music is dying, R&B is dying. What are your thoughts about that? Like, how do you feel about the state of artistry and music and especially R&B now?
I'll tell a quick story to answer your question. Beyonce was 06, right? We had just did Mary J. Blige. We was coming, like, we had a break where she was trying to figure out how, like, she was planning for her summer tour, but she was still, like, working it out. Got the call for Beyonce on a Saturday night. My boy dropped off the CD of, dropped off a CD of 25 songs of Beyonce's, like, arrangements. Some of them were arrangements, some of them were covers of what she wanted to do. Rehearsal was Monday.
Wow.
So me and my brother and my friend Adam Burton, who plays trumpet, we had a horn section. We're sitting there like, I guess we got to learn these 25 songs in less than 48 hours. So we literally stayed up all night until, and we went from when he dropped the CD off to maybe like 2, 3 in the morning until we were just mentally fatigued and just couldn't do it. Went to sleep, went to go play at the church because, like, we got responsibility, we got to do that. Came back, rehearsed, and then went to, I mean, we practiced the stuff and then went to go for rehearsal on Monday. And in my head, I'm like, man, like, I look back now, like, that was kind of extreme. You know, like, we put in a lot of work. And in my years with working with artists and just meeting other artists, especially now in this climate, like you said, it's just like there's no work ethic. It's just like they just want the result. And I can't fault them completely, because sometimes I'll be like, everybody's born in a different generation where you got these values instilled from you early. But if you don't put that work in, it's not going to last. Right. I mean, you could come up on a lick. You could come up on a dope hit, like that catchy song. But if you ain't putting that work in, I have people come to me like, yo, I want to sound like this. I want to play like this. And I'm like, dog, you know, I've been playing since I'm 7 years old, 38. What you mean? Like, you got to put the work in, you know what I mean? So I feel like...
I thought you was 14.
You lied to us.
14 times 3, duh. Come on, do the math.
Dare you.
How dare you.
How dare you mislead me like that. No, that's true. That's true. I want to know. You know, I be speaking my mind. You know, like I don't be caring. Like all these young artists today, because you know I'm an old school guy too. You know, I love old school R&B. I love '90s R&B. I love old school music. Everything. I love the musicality, like we were talking about. I love the work that you put into just your artistry, and these young artists that are beating like Mariah Carey and Michael Jackson, you know, records and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that? I feel like, you know, once social media started, like the year it started, that should be like a whole new like billboard, you know, like
the stream,
you know, like a streaming billboard, yeah. Like not like record sales and all that, where people actually had to sell records, like not just buy it from a click, you know what I mean? Had to go to record stores and wait in lines, and you know what I mean? And we talk, and then we can go back to, you know, just like what we were going through as Black people during the time. So like you're outselling records when you couldn't even be Black in public, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like now you got somebody who will literally say, "Hi, I started rapping last week," and you got the number one song on Billboard. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think, I don't want to go too deep into it. I just think it's like,
I mean, go deep. Why? What are we here to do?
Listen, I feel like, I think part of it is the machine. There's always been a machine behind every decade, or whether it was like Motown stuff, whether it was stuff you grew up in the 90s and Bad Boy and this, that. It's always been a machine behind. But I just think now that like, it's not based off what you feel. Like the A&Rs back then had to go there and be like, "Oh, I heard her. Like, there's something different about even the way she wear her hair. Like, there's something there that we can mold." And then you go and you work on it. Now it's just like, "Oh, you got 2 million views on this video that you did. A dumb video. You wasn't even rapping. But you got, you got 2 million views. That means like, yo, we're doing the algorithms. If we put you on a catchy beat, you don't got to be a dope rapper. You already got 2 million views. So now we know the numbers is going to go."
That's it.
It's really just based on like, you're just doing the math. Like, oh, 2 + 2 = 4. So we're going to do that. It's not like, "Oh, this feels good. This artist has something to say." It's like, well, they got the views already. Because the record labels ain't really putting no work in right now.
I've been hearing stories from creative people who work with artists kind of like on development or management about like artists that they found on YouTube. Like, oh, they have like 5 million views or whatever. And then they meet the artist in person and it's just like...
nothing. A bag of potatoes.
A bag of rusty potatoes.
Like rusty at that. Still got the root and everything. Like, what?
But we can bring it back to your point of it is important to do the work.
Yeah.
No, it is. But it's just hard. Like, I feel as though you gotta... that feeling, like, it's just... And I think that's not just in music and entertainment and anything. Like, when you find a young person who might speak their mind or say something, and then they're in the law, and they're like, they're not even a lawyer. They're not a partner. They're nothing. They're just working there. You might see something and be like, yo, he or she's going to be a great lawyer because of their passion and the way they outspoken. Or you might see somebody who really cares about, like, change. And you're like, oh, he or she might be good at law or public relations. Like, it's, you see something in somebody that's their knack and that they're fluent in. And I think that you're not, in music, they're not looking for that. They're just looking for the numbers. So I think if we get back to, like, I don't even want to say this because I don't like saying names, and it's not even no shade, but it's just like, I know Saweetie dropped the...
Come on, 2,000. Yeah. 2,000 copies. Listen, let's be real.
And I don't even... It's no shade to Saweetie.
It's no shade, but like, that right there just goes to show.
Somebody dropped
like,
the ball somewhere in the process.
And I think she obviously got big records already, so obviously it's not that it can't be done. And some... yo.
And she has a fan base, too, so...
Allegedly, not me. Stop. Yeah, but I just feel as though, I'm not throwing shade on. I'm just saying, it's just like, I think there was, like you said, that's a prime example of like, yo, we didn't really take the time to say, are these good songs?
Right.
Is this good stuff that we're going to put
out? Is it actual talent? Let's be real. Let's be real.
You know what I mean? Because the palm trees,
like,
over there.
I'm just saying, like, because it just pisses me off. Like, I was going to ask, like, is it discouraging? Because you got people out here that are so talented. You know what I mean? You got people out here that have studied this, you know, like it's in their blood. And then you got people who literally put on a persona. Like 2 years ago, you was a proper girl. Now you this ghetto girl with long nails and like, what's up? What's up? You know, just to, and that's your artistry. You know what I mean? Just that persona, because it's not, there's no talent really in it. But like, they are the ones that are making it.
It's kind of like, this is like the age of the spectacle. Like, a lot of people are now famous for just their antics.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. So is that ever discouraging? It's like, you know, it's almost like you kind of have to I don't want to say sell your soul, but it's like you gotta be a whole different person to get the people to watch you, to want to watch you. And that's exactly what these you know, record labels and all that putting the money in you are looking for.
Like, have y'all ever seen I like love TV, I love Netflix, I'm like a series dude. Y'all seen I don't wanna curse, you seen Rap-ish?
Oh yes.
Love it. That's our prime example. The main character is really talented.
She's really talented, but
trying to find that balance of like, all right, and then you got the other one who's just like, I'm just trying to pop off.
Right.
So it's kind of tricky, you know what I mean?
But
I,
you saw how she had to change
real.
It.
That's
you know,
real.
She had to change her stuff to actually get seen.
I think with the talent, you gotta have people. You have to have a team. If you don't have the wherewithal to be like, yo, I know how to pull stuff together. Most people don't. You need to have people in your corner or a team, or learn how to build a team of people who can say, yo, I like this right here, but if you just change this a little bit, it could be like this. So, like, raw talent is just raw talent. It's anything raw is just like that. It still needs to be shaped and developed. You know what I mean? It's like having a building foundation. It's like, cool. Now, how are you going to make this joint look fly? How are we going to make it be appealing? Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to just live in an apartment that just got, like, four walls.
Right.
I want that joint to be sexy. So, it's like, you got to get interior decorated maybe to make it like that. So, I feel like this is kind of how, like, your artistry is. Like, the raw talent should be prevalent, and it's great when you, like, naturally talented, but you need to be able to present it. Because at the end of the day, you like monetizing off of your gift.
Yeah.
So if you want people to buy your stuff, there is a...
That's real.
There's a shift and there's a balance.
So let's take it back to you. What are you working on right now? Or I guess in the next couple of months?
All
right.
So I'll tell you one thing I just did. I couldn't say anything because I saw...
Woo! Woo! Breaking news.
I signed the NDA. Go ahead.
Yeah, my bad. Go ahead.
I tell you, keep playing. I'm going to take that coat.
Listen, everybody wants my coat, y'all.
T-neck
just came out. T-neck just came out.
I'll play it. So I signed the NDA. I couldn't talk about it for a minute, but I just got the new theme song. I produced the new theme song for the NBA. On ESPN. Hey.
Whoa.
And the last one was this guy named John Tesh. He was actually fire. My parents used to listen to him for some reason. I don't know. But not like that. But like, he was back in the 90s and he did a lot of theme songs, and he wrote the theme song for the NBA. Like, that was like forever. I remember that as a little kid.
Me too.
Yeah. So that's been
when the Lakers was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Nah.
Yeah.
So I got that recently, just in like a month ago.
Wow.
Nice, so I couldn't say anything on that. So anytime you watch NBA, you turn on the joint, you're going to hear my
theme. I'm going to say Eric Hall.
Every time
I watch the NBA, that's what I'm going to say.
Right.
98% of the population of the planet watches the NBA. What?
That's real.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, so that's different for me because I've gotten placements with artists, and that's dope. But like, this is a little different because I feel
Does that mean royalties every single time or what?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't know because I never done TV money.
Look, listen.
So we
my eyes.
Eventually, you're
you guys are like drinks on you.
Drinks on air call tonight.
He's like, yo, we're drinking tonight.
Drinks on air call. Bump
but
10.
Right? Look, so that means you will be composing scores for TV and film, right? That's a good look.
Yeah, that's kind of like the next avenue, but it's not. It's an avenue I want to get into, but I still want to be able to. Anything God has, I don't want to just limit myself. I've always been in ways. Like, I play four instruments. I never was like, I remember being in college being like, doing classical music, and I was like, I don't know if I could be in a tuxedo every night at Carnegie Hall. But then also at the same time, I was like, I don't want to be in the jazz clubs every night, and I don't want to just play in church. I want to, like, immerse myself in all that so I could get every experience, you know what I mean? And meet everybody and just, that's how I always am. I'm still like that.
Yeah. I liked how, you know, you took the pandemic and just, you know, made it yours, you know, where a lot of people were out there just like sitting, eating and
I did some of that too.
Moping. But like, you know, you were able to, you know, come out and really work on you. And I know you had a new music video. It was a disaster that came out in June, right?
Mm-hmm. So you did your homework. Look at this guy.
You know, I mean,
drinks might really be on me.
Listen, drinks are on Eric Hall. Do you hear me? So let's talk about that, you know, especially just coming out with your music and like what we can expect and the stuff that you have out now that you came out with this earlier this year.
So I came out this year with Disaster. I was telling Zach, that song is like 4 or 5 years old, but it's just, before I even go there, the ESPN song is 11 years old.
Wow.
I did it in 2009, and when they sent, like, what they were looking for, I was like, oh, I got something like that, and then, you know what I'm saying? Let me look at my hard drive. So I just tell people, like, any creative, don't look down on your past works,
because
it might be old to you, like, oh, I did this when I was blah, blah, blah. And then someone else might see it and be like, yo, this is like a Picasso. And you're like, where did I did this man long ago? So that's how the ESPN was. And the same thing with Disaster. I did that like 4 years ago, and I just I actually submitted it to a few artists like Justin Timberlake, and they was all feeling it. But you know, they be feeling it, and then when the album come out, you're like, I don't see my name's not on it. Like, yeah. You didn't take the song. Oh, y'all didn't take the song. So that could be discouraging sometimes. But I was just like, nah, let me put it out. You know what I'm saying? This feels good to me. I like the song. I want to put it out, and I don't make a visual. And that was like the first song back in like June, and then right after that, I put out Hugh. And it's just, that was a feel good one. And I got some more music coming out. I got like, I don't want to say, okay, around Valentine's Day, I got some.
Okay.
Listen, after Kaya came out with Kay Wang music video, like 20 years after, there's a Kay Wang with it. Listen, 4 or 5 years ain't nothing, brother. 4 or 5 years ain't nothing. Hey, man, we appreciate you coming and stepping in with us at AURN's podcast. You want to put in anything else that you want to tell everybody, you know, how they can stream your stuff, how they can support you, and all of that,
You can follow me on all socials. My journey is real simple. It's Mr. Eric Hall, not the full, just the MR, Mr. Eric Hall. I have all my music on there. You can click on the links. Everything will take you right there, one-stop shop. I want to shout out Stevie Wonder. I got a story about Stevie Wonder. I don't think he's really blind, but we can say that another time.
What?
That's one of my favorite conspiracy theories.
I said that. Let me tell you. I saw him at the movie theaters. At the Grove. I saw him at the Grove. He was walking with somebody.
Was she cute?
But why are you in the movie theater, though?
Oh, why is he at the movie theater? Stevie, I love you, Stevie. I love you, Stevie.
Love you, too. You're the best.
Boy,
that's one of my favorite conspiracy theories, though.
If I find out that you ain't...
We love you, Stevie.
If I find out...
Uncle Steve.
I seen him at the Grove at the movie theaters. I swear to you, I've never said that story until today.
That's so funny to me. The movie theater, you might top mine. Because the movie theater's like, all right, hold on, what you doing here?
Yeah, come on.
Now, I saw him at a party.
I know you got stories, though. Artists always have
stories. I got one, and I'll just leave it one. I was at a party. It was a Jamie Foxx party, and it was like Grammy weekend. I had no tickets to the Grammy, but I was like, I'm going to Jamie Foxx party.
Okay, Jamie, we're throwing some good
parties. And it was dope. It was real fly.
Him and Tyrese. They were throwing some really good at their house.
And I was in L.A. I was in your hometown in L.A. It was great. And tell me this. Riddle me this, because if you know black culture music, so that's fag. I surf. Easy joint. You left the right with it. You don't even need to
everybody
like.
He was on it.
Rhythm.
Yeah, he did that, but I wasn't mad at him like that. I'm like, yo, you could just feel that. But then, this is 2011. Boom. Then teach me how to Dougie. And guess what he started doing? He Dougie, and he was like way better. To the point where I had to go home and Google like, yo.
He felt that rhythm, though.
Nah, but I had to look at the Dougie and like some simple joint. There's some moves in there.
Right,
and I was like,
true.
Yo, who taught you how to Dougie? You can't see. And I was like, aha, there's a spoon. You might be able to see, buddy. But I still love you, Stevie. Don't come for me. Let's do a song together, something.
I want to see Stevie Wonder Dougie.
I wish I'd take it. Was like 2011.
We want to see him sitting here chatting with us one day.
Listen.
That's a whole other story.
All right, well, we appreciate you, like we said. Thank you. Listen, you family here, so come step up anytime.
Yeah, I'll be tomorrow.
Okay. Bring them drinks. Look.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.